Welcome to Compression, the quest to $100 million in just 1 year. Join me, your host, Logan Freeman, in this one-of-a-kind interactive podcast experience where I am on a quest to compress 3 years of achievement and production into 12 months. And no, the answer is not to just work harder. I'm bringing you not only ideas and concepts that are complete at the theoretical level, but they're also effective at the applied level. Look, guys, knowledge is not power. It is potential power. Knowledge plus massive strategic action equals power. We're talking about strategy, systems, accountability, all in real time. This is Compression.
Welcome back to the year in review episode of the Compression Podcast. Jerome, sitting here, end of December, getting ready for Christmas and the holidays, thinking about the last 12 months, talking with you. Went through my year in review on Monday internally, and we'll do that today as well, because I always love doing the year in reviews, you know, with other people, because it's so, you don't always see everything, you know. When we start to actually list the things out, it's like, wow, you know, that's impressive. You know, and I was going through kind of all of the wins and things like that. And I'll say this first off, and we're gonna end the year at 90.8 million. And some folks might listen to that and say, you know, you came up short on the 100 million. Yeah. But we more than, you know, doubled our output from last year. And, you know, to me, what we have done in regards to the number is fantastic, but it's not a loss at all to not hit the 100 million, because when you get to a point in your business every year, you know, doubling what you've done the last year, I mean, that is a really difficult thing to do once you start having a large enough business, right? And some of the pieces of the component are market driven, and we can't always dictate what we're going to be able to do. And you don't want a goal to push you into doing bad deals. Could I have done 2, 3, 4, 5 more deals to get to 150 million this year? I could have done that. Would those have been the right deals to do? No. When I look at one project that's going to close in January instead of December, that would have put us at 104 million. And so to me, that's a win, man. You know, would I love to have the slap the big, you know, 100 million up there and say, you know, we got it? Yes. But what's more important to me is trajectory versus that position. And also what happened internally in my head and my heart this year, and all of the big things that kind of came along with that, brother. So wanted to spend some time, you know, this episode going through our year in review. And then, you know, next week, we will definitely set out the vision for 2022. So everybody knows kind of what we're focusing on. And then I'll come prepared to talk about, you know, what Compression turns into, what it's going to be focused on. But got to do some more thinking around the clarity piece of that, brother. But I'm curious, man, for you at the end of the year, you got a lot of coaching clients. You got a lot of people you talk with on a regular basis. What's that year in review process look like for you? And how do you kind of go through a debrief on, you know, the last 12 months and what are you trying to get out of that process, man? I mean, obviously it's celebrating wins, but to me, it's thinking about the learnings, mostly about what you've learned in the last 12 months. But I'm curious, what's that process look like for you and for the folks that you work with on a regular basis?
Yeah. The question is, did we achieve what we set out to achieve? Some people come just because they need clarity. Other people come because they have a big, hairy, audacious goal.
Yeah.
You know, you threw the 100 million out there. We'll talk specifically about you since we're both here, right? As a benchmark, right? It would take your business to the next level to go, you know, I can't even count that high, 9 digits, right? But there was an undertone. You said you wanted to do more without just working
mm-hmm. harder.
You wanted to do more without just working harder. And when I start thinking about the year, Logan, I think you took more days off this year.
Yeah. 100% did.
I think you did. I don't know the actual day count, but every time I turned around, you were doing a day off to take Bella to the water park, or you and Taylor were doing a staycation, or,
yeah,
you know, let's talk about some of the stuff that wasn't so amazing. You had COVID,
mm-hmm.
right? And you had to quarantine for like 2 weeks.
Yep.
I mean, so when we talk about the goal, there's essence and then there's, all right, here's a benchmark. And mm-hmm. so are these guys moving the benchmark just to say that they achieved it or to make themselves better? For me, it's a resounding no, simply because your goal was to do more without just working harder. And so
yeah.
we learned about leverage. We learned about delegation. And probably the thing that has given, I think, the most comfort to you is dealing with stress.
Yeah.
Right? You used to just wallow in it and you figured out how to swing in, swing out, your heart rate's down. You've been working on your health. Stress is just way down, right? And it's when you look at the picture a year later, after you've done all the things you said you wanted to do, you've adjusted. You know, when we think about the assumptions, did we really think the market was going to be as tough as it was this year? I mean, when you think about the number of deals that you had to look at compared to what you did last year, you know, just that ratio in and of itself changed, staff changed.
Yeah.
And the amount of clarity and the level of intelligence that we have when we think about the world and how we see things, when that changes, I think you can stack it all up and say, either put it on the line and I laid out for that pass or made that block or whatever metaphor you want to use, and know in your heart, and this is amazing, and oh, by the way, in a lot of ways, the time is arbitrary. You know, trying to raise money in the last 2 weeks of the year, a lot of these things, if a bunch of stuff didn't go exactly right, you just aren't, it's not practical for you to hit that.
And right.
So if we swing it 2 weeks one way or 4 weeks one way or the other, do we get it? We do. If we adjust our buy criteria, do we get it? We do. And at the end of the day, that is what I'm more interested in. There's a lot of guys who just pound, 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 got the next hack, got the next strategy, got the next tip, but you're actually building something that's sustainable, right? You're building something that turns into a flywheel that's going to work when you're not working. And for me, that's more exciting. And so when you talk about trajectory versus reaching a point, I agree with you 3,000%. I think there's so much wisdom in that. And, you know, for the listeners out there who may not have hit their goal, but they're looking themselves in the mirror and knowing they didn't do everything they could to get their goal, or they didn't have the appropriate support in order to be close to it.
Right.
Well, yeah, you should be a little frustrated. You should be disappointed. But make sure that you look and you compare against yourself, not against others, right? Compare against yourself. What'd you do the year before, right? And if you did better than the year before, then you've made progress, right? If you've had more adversity, more challenges than you had than the year before, like, keep everything in perspective, because it's not always bigger, it's not always more, it's not always better. There are things that may not be quantifiable that make it true that you made the goal, right? We like to measure things so we can say, yep, did it. And, you know, when I go back to the true essence of what you wanted to do, which was do more without just working harder,
right?
Without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, we were successful there. And to the tune of, you know, I don't want to talk about your net worth, but there's a big multiplier on your net worth, right? There's a big multiplier, maybe not as big as you wanted to be on your income, but I think that's going to pay off for you in future years when you harvest some of the gains from buying things the right way.
Right.
I keep coming back to this cost basis thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I keep coming back to this cost basis thing because I think people are missing it. And so, you know, there's a monetary piece, but the piece in your home, right? The commitments, right? We're going to jump out in March and go hang out in St. Lucia. I just, for the life of me, when I think back to this time last year, when you're like, man, what am I going to do? Can I do this? Is this real? Yeah, man, it's real.
Your dreams should be real. And we're over here dream catching and dream creating, you know? And for me, you know, I always go back to John Wooden's definition of success, right? Success is the self-satisfaction and knowing that you did everything that you were capable of doing in regards to trying to achieve something. And when I look at that, you know, there's not a lot of days that I can look back and say, you know, that was a loss. You know, I didn't do what I was supposed to do that day. You know, I wasn't intentional about what I was trying to accomplish there. And when I look at all of the, you know, the work that was done, it's all to work in the future. It's all building up something in the future. There was a lot of delayed gratification in regards to setting something up even greater, you know, down the road. And I think that was a really big component of this year is, you know, building a, you know, some sort of self-sustaining, you know, business around me and our company and personally and professionally to allow this growth on a regular basis. That was the biggest component that I was missing in years previous. You know, when we think about folks that are supporting me now, I've got Jill, Crystal, Lee, Allison. I mean, there's four people around me that last year at this time, I was basically doing all of that work, right? And so one thing I really learned about this year was leverage, utilizing leverage through people, technology, and capital, and how to actually implement that on a regular basis. The other thing that I learned about myself this year was what my superpower is. And my superpower is similar to what Darren Hardy says his superpower is, which is being able to look at a big goal and then break it down and create habits and systems around that to say, self-sustainable to actually go achieve those things. And, you know, I think that's the hardest part for folks is, you know, a goal is not just to achieve the goal. It's what is the becoming process while you're going to that end journey, you know? And when I think about my intelligence, when I think about my relationships, when I think about my stress and my health and my family and all those different things this year, you know, I moved up, man. I leveled up. And I took a next step, which is incredible. You know, there's people that I spent time with this year that I'm like, you know what? I see kind of these repeating themes in their lives, and nobody does this thing alone. And you know, I think it's really important to understand that. You know, I used to be kind of the guy that would just say, put it on my back, man. I'm going to do it, you know, and all of these things. You just throw it on the back, brother. I can handle it. Yeah, you can handle it, but you're also just going to be going from the loudest to the latest on all fronts. And that's not a way to live, and it's not sustainable. And, you know, this year was really unique in the sense that, you know, from this year, last year's time, you know, nobody was buying, you know, commercial real estate. And so it was is a different climate out there. And now everybody is, and that's going to continue. And so when you talk about the basis, man, the things that we're doing last year, this year, we'll continue to do next year, this real estate game is you buy right, you manage right, then you wait for that market to come back and you sell right, man. I mean, that is the name of this game. And so many folks, I think, that are getting into projects now just to get into projects is, you know, they might not have that same kind of basis that we do on a lot of these things. And that's longer term wealth building for ourselves and for our investors. You know, when we double investors' money in 2 years and we say, hey, you know, we're going to go ahead and sell because we bought at $45,000 a door and we're selling at $90,000 a door. You know, investors are going to not only get that capital back, they're going to say, hey, can you go do this again? And so it's just building that.
And I got a buddy who's interested too.
And then we've got, you know, then we'll have 5, 6, 7 case studies of doing this. And so one thing, if you do it the right way in business, is each year adds to that credibility. And that is so crucial, you know, in this space. And when I look at other folks in this space and what they're trying to do and all of these things, man, I really go back to Rise 48 and what they're doing in Arizona, you know, and I see Zach put all his numbers up. He's very transparent about all that stuff. He's got 1,000 investors, you know, all of that stuff is really interesting to me. Obviously I'm taking a different approach because Phoenix is a lot larger than Kansas City. We can't continue to buy the same assets and we're not having the same growth. So he's positioned himself really well in that market. But, you know, I think that you see him hiring, you know, 70, 80 people, you know, most of it's on the property management side, but like that guy is doing something very similar, you know, and it takes time. I don't know Zach's background. I've never talked to him, but I watch what they're doing, you know, in the space and kind of the way that they're going about this. And I think that's the way that you have to do it is you had to build this team around yourselves. And there's not that many folks that are doing this. It's just kind of folks that are kind of, hey, I'm going to do this on the side. I'm going to do a project here, do project there. And unfortunately that's not self-sustaining. It's a good portfolio allocation, but it's not self-sustaining to actually grow something into being able to achieve a longer term goal. And so for this year, for me, when I look about like the wins, you know, what forced me and our company to do going after 100 million was build systems, was utilize tech, was to get better at operations, was to build a team around us to be able to go kind of move that needle forward on a regular basis. And I tell you what, that's not easy to do. You know, it takes people years to build teams. And, you know, we're going to be at 14, 15 people. We've got a new office space that's being built out. I posted that picture of us playing a little putt-putt golf in the hallway, you know, and you know, got 5,000 views on LinkedIn, you know, and it's just things like that, that it's corporate culture. It's all of these pieces that are going to help continue to grow as individuals. And I really had to step into kind of a leadership role this year with being able to delegate and to be able to lead effectively. And those are skill sets that I'm always going to need to tap into, right? And that's why using that leverage and understanding the 3 levels of delegation, understanding what stress is, how to manage it, and you know, continue to move forward is kind of like the biggest win for me this year. The number is great. I love that we doubled what we did. I love all of those things. Started a brokerage, bought an office building, all of those things. But I didn't work harder this year. I worked smarter and I applied leverage in a big way. Now I got to get better and I will, but there's things now that don't just land on my desk that live and die by me. I've got a team to help me move things across the finish line. And that alone is just incredible and gives me a lot of comfort for the years coming up, which I'm really excited about, man.
So let's go through the 6 levels of the red pill, because I always put everything against that framework, right?
Yep.
So your self-image, the worthiness conversation,
mm-hmm.
I think we can check that box resoundingly, right?
Self-image for me has been huge this year. And what I mean by that is detaching myself and my self-worth from what I am trying to achieve. It's like knowing that every day, you know, I'm trying to eat healthy, drink less alcohol, be the best version of myself, hero husband, hero father, keep my priorities in line, be present, have boundaries, be able to deal with stress, love myself. You can't give what you don't have. All of those pieces, man, my gosh. I took huge strides, making time for myself. All of those things, game changing, total step above where I was this year, not doubting myself, my confidence levels, my ability to understand, you know, the actual process of what it's going to take, being okay with saying, hey, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, knowing that everything that I set out to do is not going to happen to a plan. And that's actually the norm, not the outlier, and being ready for that. Right. It's just all of those pieces. I'm just in a better place from all of that growth on the self-worth side. Absolutely.
Let's talk about your relationships. Cause you know, you were, I was like, who's your five? He's like, I think I got four. Right. Mm-hmm. So can you say those are better than they were this time last year?
I absolutely can. And obviously, you know, they haven't really changed either, but you know, my relationship with Taylor, and we're on a different wavelength. You know, I mean, we're married, obviously, we're husband and wife, but we're also parents. But we also are on the same page in regards to being kind of partners in this whole thing together, right? Yeah, it's like
partners, and that's where I was going to go if you didn't get there, because partnership,
yeah,
is the ultimate. Like a lot of people, hey, I got the title, I got the ring, that's ultimate. But no, a lot of people are retired in place. They aren't actually participating and acting in those roles.
So right,
when you have true partnership, it total elevation. And it was funny because I went and watched The Matrix on release night, and you know, Neo and Trinity had true partnership, and mm-hmm. it wasn't until you saw the true partnership that they were able to elevate and go to that next level.
So that's right.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this: my relationship with Parker and Corey has definitely evolved, you know, as we're building a company, and that's going to be really where my big focus is. For 2022 is making sure that we know roles and responsibilities, decision-making criteria, all on the same page. And we implemented that pretty good in 2021, but it needs to step up in 2022. So the accountability around the partners of the business is going to be a main focus for us, you know, going forward. Now that we're delegating and leading a team of that many folks, we all have to be on the same page. We need to be able to communicate that in a regular basis. So that's going to be a main focus. And then I'm trying to rekindle kind of a big relationship with, you know, one of my close buddies who, you know, wrote this book here, The Intentional Day. And I thought about, okay, who is it that I want to meet with on a regular basis? And yeah, I wanted to add him into that kind of mix because I think that's really important. He's here in Kansas City. I love the guy. He's got a big change in his life, and he's got a baby girl now too. And so all of those things is like, I got probably space to add one more back in and grab onto that. And that's going to be my fifth. And I'm really excited about that. But I feel really good about the relationships even outside of those five. I've just really elevated the amount of relationships and the different levels of those relationships throughout this year, which has been really great. And that's either through employees, vendors, investors, partners, all of those pieces. Is network building has been a really big component of why we've been able to achieve what we achieve and what we're going to be able to go do next year. So feel really good about that. And this business, man, is all relationships. I kind of feel like a lot of businesses are relationships, but in this space, it's very true.
And especially in the role that you're in, right?
Yes.
Like you're the relationship builder for the company. You're creating opportunities out of thin air. Is one of the people corrected us and said, well, they're not actually thin air. They come through people, but
that's right.
Still beautiful. It's still a beautiful concept. So now we're at level three, right? And that's work, right? I mean, would you say that the workplace is better for you?
Yeah. I mean, well, we have a workspace, which is good, and a workplace. So building that is great. I'll say this too, you know, having an actual office space for us is so important. And people want that, you know, and I know a lot of people are like, hey, work from home is here. It is here to stay. I mean, for a lot of big businesses, but when you're a small business under 20 people, it is super important to be in and around and culture building and all of those pieces. So another big focus for 22 is going to be, you know, driving that culture. What is the FTW culture? You know, how do we make that apparent on every single level? How does communication get directed down to different folks in the space? And then obviously spending time. And so I've got this new beautiful office space. I got my new iMac set up there. I got my putting mat, you know, in the office. We're having fun there. I feel really good about this workspace, my office workspace. You know, I've got the home gym set up, man. I've got my three spaces that I operate in on a regular basis, really teed up to be, you know, successful, making it easy for me to find space that I, one, love to be in, and two, can get into the flow state. And then also I can build culture is really important. So really excited about that, because last year this time, obviously we did not have that. We were kind of just operating all over the place. And so, you know, that's a really exciting piece of the puzzle here that got taken care of this year.
And I think you guys grew assets under management a little bit.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we absolutely did. We absolutely did. Being able to say that we're at 1400 units, you know, and over $100 million in assets under management is a big benchmark. You know, I mean, I think that's a really big benchmark that a lot of partners and folks think about and try to get to. And you know, I think we'll be somewhere around 120 or 130 by the end of January, which is very exciting. And I think we have a really strong plan to get to that 200 million mark of assets under management next year. And, you know, I'm excited to go execute on that. And so I think that, you know, that's obviously a big goal for the 5-10 year vision, is to get to that $1 billion mark. And you got to keep kind of knocking that off, because you're going to be selling projects, you're going to be doing all that stuff. So it's kind of an, you know, ever evolving situation to go through. But just being able to get to that level and sustain that level is really important, especially in today's climate. And so we've got some strategies that I'm excited to start working towards and making that happen, to continue to grow those assets, the right assets, with the right people.
Yeah, we won't talk about cost basis there, right? But I'll bring it back up just to point it. So
yeah,
assets under management is not what the cost basis is on those assets under management. And so you added a few people, right? How many people did you have this time last year on the team?
Oh, man. I feel like it was Parker, myself, Corey, and Crystal.
Yep.
Yeah. So we had four.
Yeah.
We added 10. We added 10 people. Yeah.
Four people hired 10. Think about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the course of a year. So, you know, I think things are going well in the workspace, right? And so those bottom three, self-image, relationship, and work, they create all your stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've already talked about your ability to swing in and swing out and deal with stress at a different level. And part of it was decoupling the achievement from your identity, because
that's right.
There's going to be some challenges along the way, and you can't feel like a failure. You can't feel like it's all falling apart because something didn't work out that maybe you didn't see, or, you know, somebody fell down on what they were responsible for, et cetera, et cetera. So now we go to the space where, like, that's basic. Here's, you know, upper level stuff. And this is really the self-actualization piece. And mm-hmm. So health, right? How much you lose? How much weight you lose?
I've lost 25 pounds. Yeah. I've lost 25 pounds for the last 5 or 6 months. So I'm steady right around 262, 263. And, yeah. You know, I my goal is to tip that 260 mark by the end of the year. It'll be a tough one, but I've put in place the process to get down to, you know, my goal weight, which is somewhere around 245, 250 for next year, and then be able just to sustain. My wife is blown away with my relationship with alcohol, my relationship with sleep, all of my health things that I've been focused on. She's blown away, and that makes her very, you know, comfortable and happy, because, you know, I'm a big guy. I work hard. I got a lot of stress I got to deal with. She wants me to be around for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So when she sees me working towards that and prioritizing that, man, you know, it just makes her so happy, and it makes me happy because I have higher energy levels. I'm, I'm doing better in regards to that. I have better self-worth. I have workouts scheduled. I have all of those different things that, that really help me to be a high performer. And I tell you what, one of my biggest learnings this year was, you know, if you want to be a high performer, you got to have sustainable high levels of energy. It is tiring. It is exhausting. You know, who wants to be on the phone for 8 hours out of the day trying to get things done and all the other work that you need to do and work out and have two kids under two and remember that you're, you know, a husband first? That's difficult to do, you know, and you have to have crazy levels of energy to be able to do that. And so I've got a really good system in place to do that. And I'm really actually excited about, you know, continuing to, you know, work on the health goal for me, which is really good, because when I get excited about something, where focus goes, energy flows. And I got a lot of focus on that right now.
So you know, you picked up golf this year. I think you improved
your
stroke a little bit, and that's part of the health. You're out in nature, your relationship building.
Absolutely.
So we talked about the weight down. We didn't talk about BMI or percent body fat or any of those things. You're measuring all those. You're measuring your sleep. You're measuring your oxygenation.
Yep.
And there's one other thing you're measuring, resting heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Measuring resting heartbeat. And I think that's down. So
it is, man. Resting heart rate, 7-day average is at 54. And so, you know, that's really great. And, you know, typically when I'm on a show or something like this, it's, you know, 85, 90. I'm sitting at 74 right now, which is a great kind of operating heart rate. And man, I tell you what, I've been learning even more about breathing and making sure to continue to breathe throughout the day. I have some breathing techniques that I use in the mornings. When I'm tired, I get the breathing going and I get some adrenaline pumping through the system. And being okay knowing that, hey, you know what? I do need 7 hours, you know, and I haven't had a whole lot of 3:30 mornings because I've changed my relationship with sleep. And it's like, if I'm going to bed at 9, I can wake up at 4. If I go to bed at 8:30, I can wake up at 3:30. If I go to bed at 9:30, I got to wake up at 4:30. I need that 7 hours of sleep that really allows me to get my body battery back up above 85. And, you know, that's kind of a good metric. I'd like it to be at 100 every single day, but I got to focus more on my breathing. My oxidation levels while I'm sleeping is about 96%. I'd love for that to get up to 98-99%. And that's all about focusing on nasal breathing and making sure that I'm not watching too much TV before bed and I'm letting the stress go. So levels of sleep, the amount of sleep, and you know, the actual consistency of that's really important. And alcohol is a big player in that piece as well.
Well, and we messed around with it for a while this year, and then you made a commitment to reduce it.
Yeah.
Right. You noticed the pattern and you decided that, you know, it wasn't worth it. And
yeah,
you started making some adjustments there. And, you know, that takes a tremendous amount of discipline because, hey, let's be clear, you enjoy it, right? It's
right
part of it. And, you know, celebratory drink, just having dinner with the wife, like all of these things created habits and they were built over years, right?
Yeah.
A decade or so.
And what happened to me on that front was I started to enjoy feeling energized and great in the morning more than I did the little buzz at night. I was tired of waking up exhausted and trying to really push myself hard. So what decision can I make to make my mornings easier and my energy levels better? And it's better sleep, less alcohol. I started to enjoy that result more than the result of the drink. And that's a huge identity shift for me. You know, I mean, that's really hard for me to adopt that identity. I have been in multiple situations this year where everybody else is enjoying a drink and I'm having a seltzer water, meaning like tonic water and lime. And I am just fine with that. That is not normal. That is not normal behavior for me previously. And so I know when I can start doing that is when the identity has shifted around that, because I enjoy the result of waking up energized and getting a workout in more than I do getting a little buzz of the alcohol. So, you know, I think that's really important for me and sustainability with my addictive, you know, behaviors and nature is to understand, hey, if I can get addicted to something that's positive in the morning, That's going to be better than having a drink or two at and in the evening. And so just changing that relationship and having a really healthy relationship with that kind of stuff is really important. So and it doesn't change in me until the actual identity around it changes. And that's all about the habits, right?
And the last thing I'll talk about here in health, I feel like we spent a lot of time here, but it's, I think that's been a huge piece of your transformation is the meditation you've added in. Mm-hmm. Right? You've always prayed, but adding in some meditation,
yes,
spending some time in the dark in the morning, mm-hmm, in total silence.
Yes.
That seemed to be a game changer for you and put you in a different mind state.
Yep. The classroom of silence, just sitting there focusing on the breathing and letting things come to me instead of always trying to be out there pushing on certain things. And I love that, man. And I find a lot of joy in going down and pulling on the rower and, you know, getting done and that feeling of clarity afterwards. And I get a lot of great ideas when I'm on the treadmill or the rower as well, man. Some of my best ideas come, you know, when I'm doing that stuff. And that's not by coincidence. You know, I think many high achievers know that whenever they get their runner's high or their workout in, the ideas come to them and they're able to actually create more brilliance in those periods of time than if you're just kind of sitting, you know, in a dark room. I still do that on a regular basis. I make sure I have that time. I love the breathing techniques. I mean, if you haven't checked out Wim Hof breathing, or, you know, Matt Moylan just put me up on game with Lewis House. He just had a guy on that was talking about breathing, a doctor. And it is really, really incredible what you can do through breathing. And that was something I was open to trying new things this year, which was really on the health side, which was really cool for me. And I love having, you know, tools in the tool belt that I can pull out and say, all right, heart rate's at 100 right now. I'm feeling a little stressed. Where can I find 5 minutes? Go put my music on and get 5 minutes of breathing in. It kind of resets the whole perception for that time period, man. And so it's a great thing, man. It's just an incredible skill that I've got to be able to pull out now, which is not, you know, something I didn't have last year at this time.
And the beautiful part of it is all these things that you've kind of added in, you can use them for the rest of your life, mm-hmm, right? It's not like it's a consumable and it's gone. You're just more arrows in the quiver. You're ready to rock.
That's right.
And so we're four levels in, Logan. We still got two more. And I think these may be more exciting than the stuff that we've talked about. Although, you know, my face is hurting from smiling, listening to you talk about the first four. And so level five is prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
And so most people measure that in days off because that's time freedom. They measure it in income and they measure it maybe in net worth. And so I think all of those measures went up for you this year.
Yeah. And for me, you know, days off is kind of a unique one. I was listening to Andy Frisella yesterday because I listen to him very sparingly, but I do like to listen to him every once in a while. He's a very opinionated guy and I love him for it. He owns the crap out of it and he works his tail off. But he was saying something like this, like, dude, I enjoy my days on, you know, like I enjoy work, you know. For me, when I pick up a new book about economics, I enjoy the challenge, the intellectual challenge of understanding that and then communicating that via LinkedIn or making notes for myself. I enjoy figuring out how to delegate. I enjoy, you know, figuring out how to find new projects and doing that kind of stuff. So for me, it's like the days off really for me are where can I find time to do something that kind of pushes me. And in regards to, you know, still feeling like I'm trying to achieve something, because my days off are not going to be me just watching Netflix. Like that's not for me. It's either going and hitting a 300-yard bomb on the driver. It's reading a book and trying to understand it. It's being present with Taylor. It's surprising them with a mini vacation. Those are the things that really kind of pushed me. And I said, you know, look at this past year, and I had way more of that time. Way more of that time, you know, in regards to all of those pieces. So the prosperity piece there was really important. The time off, you know, when I say time off, I mean time that, you know, helps me kind of recharge. is almost like baked into the regular schedule now, which is really a great thing for me. So that's wonderful. I've felt very, very good about that. I have more trips planned, and I've got a trip planned January, February, March, April, all of next year already. So there's already going to be a lot of travel, a lot of time with family and doing fun things in the first quarter and a half of next year. And that's intentional, right? It's intentional about what I learned about that this year. In regards to net worth and income, both of them went up substantially this year, which is fantastic. Without working, harder, it's working on the right things and applying leverage to that. And that's going to be my real challenge that I'm putting set for myself next year is to be kind of a master at that and figure out, where in this crazy competitive climate can you still build a business? Because the next couple of years in this business are going to knock a lot of people out. They're going to give up. Their deals will fail, or, they're just going to say, hey, this isn't for me. And that's when the real kind of people and the players and the hitters step up and say, you know what? The going's getting tough. Let's get tougher. And that's what's exciting for me, is to wait for that opportunity and to pounce like a lion whenever it happens again, similar to what happened in 2020. So, which is, unbelievable to think about. Like, this will be the third year. So 2020, obviously COVID happened in March. We've had 2020, 2021. Now we've got 2022. And that third year, we've been kind of dealing with some stuff. There's going to be some shakeups in our world this year. And I'm interested, don't know how or what it's going to happen, but I'm going to be ready for it because I've been studying it. I understand it. It's not going to hit us with this coming out of left field. We didn't see this coming. We know it's coming, and we're preparing for that. Not a lot of folks are. They're just kind of operating out there like everything's going to be the same, like it always has been. And that's scary for some folks. And so being prepared for this next opportunity, staying ready and knowing that it's going to come gets me excited. Because I feel like I've got a few weeks to a month kind of before other folks, because either they're in denial or they're just not thinking or seeing it, or they're too busy to do that. I have too many inputs coming in from people that have been in the business longer than I have, and or I'm studying more on the trends than a lot of people are to be able to see, what we're going to need to pivot in quickly. And there will be some big shakeups in either late 2022 or early 2023. That I'm going to be ready for, that a lot of people are, I think, might be caught off guard on. So anyways, that's all to say the prosperity looks great for the coming years, and creating a self-sustaining business that can operate through all of those. You've already seen us do that with the brokerage. You've seen us do that with different types of asset management functions, and we'll build upon that this year as well, or the upcoming year.
One thing that we haven't mentioned is just what you guys have done with changing property management companies, changing accounting software. I mean, there's just so many changes that you made within the business.
Yeah.
That we didn't even think about would be challenges. And so, not to belabor the point there, but, there's so much more that we're not unpacking for the listeners that I don't think they actually, I want to make sure that they know that this is the tip of the iceberg, not the whole iceberg.
That's right.
So, the top level, and I think this is the one you probably get most excited about, is significance, right? And mm-hmm. So I said, hey, Logan, did you give a little more than you did last year? And he said, yeah, I doubled it.
Yeah.
You start the church. I mean, you were telling the story about giving money to the gentleman at the gas station and
yep.
being able to teach Bella what the appropriate approach is in those situations. And so I'd love to hear a little bit more about the significance play. Maybe there's some people you've been able to mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've trained up a few people that you brought on the team. Like, let's talk about how you're creating immortality through giving to other people.
Yeah. And, the monetary giving is obviously important, but what I've done with my time this year is I more than doubled my giving of my time. And that was the important piece, was the volunteering when those opportunities come up. I used to try to schedule that stuff and and try to figure out, okay, I'm going to use this date at this time to volunteer. And I realized that didn't really work for me because trying to find the opportunities, yes, you can go schedule volunteering, but it kind of feels kind of like a job, you know? What was more important to me was we got a couple of calls this year and said, Logan, we got this situation going on. This is what we need. It needs to happen in 48 hours. Are you in? And I said, yes. And then I made it work, right? And I got people behind that to be able to go actually impact that change. And so I think the significance piece for me now is more important than ever, because that part of my identity is something I talk about, but I also am showing through example, through Taylor, Isabella, and Ezra now. That's going to just be a part of their lives, of giving our time and giving of our hard-earned money as well. You know, a prime example is I was talking with an investor on the way home yesterday, and I always try to keep something in my car, you know, either food or money or something like that to be able to hand out. And I had some homemade cinnamon rolls that I didn't finish. And, you know, I had a scarf and I was on the phone. I said, hold on, give me 1 second. I put my window down and I said, God bless you, man. Merry Christmas. And I handed him that food. You just see his eyes light up. He's like, what? You know, and just things like that, that Bella gets to see on a regular basis, man. It is, again, just similar to the alcohol and the identity shift of that. It is just a behavior that is now ingrained in me that says, you know what, I'm going to be okay with shifting my priorities when these opportunities come up to be able to go help somebody. And I think that is the most significant thing that happened, because previously I would say, you know what, I don't really have time for that. I've got this scheduled in a month or so. That's when my time is going to be giving. But I think God really tests people and says, you know, hey, it's my time, not yours. And this is an opportunity for you to give back. Yeah. Do you have to shift some things around and go make it happen? Yes. But that's what I'm asking you to do right now. And that light bulb went off for me a couple times this year. And I was able to actually do that, which was for me, you know, the number one goal, living out the gospel through virtues on a regular basis. That's where the identity piece of that came true. And I stayed congruent to that. And that is what created a lot of comfort around the significance part for me this year, man.
So my friend, I think you've taken the red pill.
A couple times this year, man. A couple times.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so grateful to have been a part of the 2021 journey. I think it.
Yeah, man, it was a blast doing this with you, man. And you know, this is what I'll say my biggest lesson learned. And I've talked about this. We've talked about this a lot. But you cannot give what you do not have: love, energy, and patience. And that was my number one learning for this year. I always loved that saying. I heard it out of when I read Oprah's book. But living that out, I met a lot of people this year, a lot of high achievers. I'd be on their podcast. I'd talk to them. They'd schedule a call with me. So how's your day going? So, wow, man, I'm just pounding it out right now. I'm just going from here to there to this and that, you know, and I'm dealing with that. I'm like, got it. How's your heart doing though? You catch a real strong alpha male off guard with asking them how their heart is. They're like, the hell are you asking me, man? What are you talking about how my heart is? And the ones that said, you know what? Actually, I'm not doing all that great on that side of things. Or the ones that said, you know, I'm doing fine. You know, I'm not really sure how to answer. How's your heart doing? You know, you're like, yeah, there's just different levels of that. And the real folks that I've started to really admire this year acknowledged when they were running too hard or they needed something, or, you know, they're like, hey, I've got to take some time off, or I got to do this and that. The real folks that I admire always give what they have, and it's always because they've got it internally figured out. And When I think about my patients, why am I impatient? Well, it's because my priorities are above somebody else's priorities. And maybe my priorities are misaligned. Why don't I have love in my life? Well, maybe I'm not loving myself. Maybe I stayed up too late. Maybe I didn't have purity of intention. Maybe I drank too much. All of those things. Why don't I have energy? Well, it's probably because I didn't sleep well, because I'm stressed out. It all circles back, man. And if you can get to a point where you are focusing on what we just talked about, the six levels, and you focus on those things on the foundational side, the top, the last two will start to come to fruition. But everybody's trying to get to level five and six without doing the work of one through four. When I talk with new partners, they might be 30 years older than me. I can't tell you how many times people have said, shoot, I wasn't expecting that from you whenever we started talking. You know, like they want to know about the business, sure, you know, but I always give people a look at what I'm doing on a regular basis personally, especially investors, because they want to know what work I'm doing internally, because they're investing with the jockey, not the horse.
That's right.
And I got to be the top jockey that I possibly can. And that has then started to trickle down into people, into our organization, to my friends, my family, Taylor, my kids. And so the biggest lesson learned for me this year is, if you want to be a person of authority, you want to be a person of confidence, of love, of patience, of energy, is you have to, and you want other people to see you that way, and you want to give that off, you got to be congruent, man. And we've talked about congruence a lot on this podcast, and it is a daily thing. It is not something you say, hey, this quarter I'm going to be congruent, and then check back in 90 days. It is every single day. Am I keeping the promises that I made to myself? Am I keeping those promises? And if I'm not, why not? And if so, what are the new promises that I need to make to myself? And it's just, it's been an incredible journey with you this year, man. And I hope people listen to this and hear that, you know, when you have a big goal like that, it's not about achieving the actual end result. It's about who you become throughout this process. We got 100 some episodes of things that people can go listen to on a regular basis. You just said, you know, this is week 50 that we've done this before the sun has come up, before most of these listeners are probably up right now. And that's what it takes, guys. You want to go do 100 million. You want to go build a business. You want to go become a better version of yourself, lose 25, 30 pounds, make $1 million, whatever it is, find a wife, find a husband, have children, have energy. It's all about intentionality, man. So I just want to say thank you. We'll finish off the year next year, looking at 2022. We'll give everybody an update on the Compression Podcast and how to set your vision for the next coming year. But man, it's been an incredible journey with you this year, brother. Man, so we're going to leave him with this, man. We're going to leave him with this Vince Lombardi quote. And I think this is very timely. Perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence. And every single day, I'm just trying to catch excellence, Jerome.
That's the whole game, man. Logan, grateful for the journey, grateful for the achievements, and just being close enough to stay warm from the fire, man. This is outstanding.
All right, guys. Well, this will come out after Christmas, but I hope everybody has a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. We'll tune in 1 week so you can get an update on the Compression Podcast and look at what the focus for 2022 is. Enjoy your time, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
I appreciate you tuning in to another episode of Compression. My mission for this show is to do my part in helping you crush your limiting beliefs, rise above mediocrity, and live as the best version of yourself. If you feel inclined, please share this show with someone who could benefit, someone who needs to hear this message. As always, please leave us a review wherever you're listening and connect and engage with me on LinkedIn. And head on over to compressionpodcast.com where you can subscribe. And when you do, you're going to get access to my live goal tracker, resources to download that will help you along your own compression journey, and you're going to be able to stay up with the episodes. Until next time, we'll talk soon.